of Wolves and Snakes by Victor McConnell. My neighbors and the former owners of my house sued each other about land and water, access, property rights, the type of things humans have fought over for a while. I moved in, and they told me that the pergola built beside my front door was technically on their land, that I didn't own it, that I could only enter or leave my house via a prescriptive access easement. I didn't know what a pergola or a prescriptive access easement was before I moved in. It's been a year, and I haven't taken the pergola down. It is aesthetic, I guess, but doesn't do much, just creates partial shade there at the entryway. Not enough shade to block the sun from warming the flagstones, and I suspect it was there, on those smooth, sun-baked rocks, that the snake was relaxing. I don't know, because I was inside on the couch with my son. We'd let the dog out a minute before, and we both cocked our head when we heard barking. He never barks. "Is that lightning?" my son asked. "I think so," I said, and walked outside. Lightning stood beneath the pergola, bellowing a deep belly bark, an ancient warning, and there, 6 feet from the door, coiled and raised, emitting his own ancient warning, was the rattlesnake. He must have slithered up from the riverbank beneath the fence, probably sunning himself when lightning happened upon him. He looked at me, sensing that he now faced a bigger threat. Lightning seemed abashed or confused, as if suddenly transported back from old instinct to new domestic self. Lightning is, perhaps, further removed from his ancestors than the snake or I. And he scurried back inside, hopping up onto his safe space, my son's bed. "It's a rattlesnake. Bring my boots," I said. He did, and I slipped them on. "Do you want me to get the snake grabber?" "No," I said, as I picked up the two metal shovels that leaned in the corner by the door for this purpose, wondering if my son had more humane instincts than I. I handed him a shovel, and he stood behind me as I stepped forward, moving my blade in front of me like a shield until it hovered 6 inches from the rattler's head. He didn't strike, either afraid or knowing it senseless, and I brought the blade to bear quickly, with my own ancient adrenaline, inaccurately at first, wounding him, then a rapid second and third and fourth strike, and he lay still, or almost still, his now separated tail pointing skyward, vibrating, the proverbial death rattle. We brought Lightning back outside to watch, to see that he had done his job, that the threat was gone, yet he remained confused, or fearful, or maybe he would also have preferred that I use the snake grabber, not knowing that the rattler could have wrought his end, or knowing it and being willing to grant mercy nonetheless. I lifted the body on the metal shovel and carried it out into the brush, off trail, leaving it for a hawk or other scavenger. Back in the yard, we watched Lightning sniff the blood, then race around the perimeter, innervated, checking for other threats before stopping and emptying his bowels in the tall grass. Apparently he, too, had felt the adrenaline that comes when facing an ancient foe. Back in the house, we called him our own Rikki-Tikki-Tavi dog, and he wagged his tail, pleased at the praise. I thought about the bloodstain there, on the stone by the door, beneath the pergola, on top of the prescriptive access easement. It will remain there for some time, possibly through more than a few summer storms, for blood is slow to be washed away, and that rust patch will be a reminder of things old and new, of choices we make, of wolves and snakes, of humans and violence, of life in conflict and harmony.